You are listening to Level Up Your Gaming Podcast, episode 130, Reoccurring Good Guys. In today's episode, we have a talk about reoccurring good guys. We discuss different types of reoccurring good guys that you can feature in your games. We also discuss how to have them interact with your game without becoming the focus of the game. If you'd like to participate in the discussion or leave us feedback, you can contact us at levelupyourgamingpodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/levelupyourgaming. If you like the content and want to hear more of the show, subscribe and ensure you don't miss an episode. New episodes come out almost every Wednesday. Also, please review, tell a friend about the podcast, or share with your gaming group. Now sit back and enjoy the episode. Welcome into Level Up Your Gaming Podcast. My name is Aaron, and joining me once again in person, I got Josh. How are you doing today, Josh?
I'm just peachy.
Josh was so kind to record in person with me, which is nice. It's been a while since I've actually had an in-person recording partner for these podcasts. So it's good to do that. I know that the time of the week is tough with the kids being up and about, but
yeah, and they get school during the week, and you know,
thanks for making it happen.
Yeah,
appreciate it. One of the topics that when I first approached you about coming on and doing some guest hosting for the podcast was the concept of reoccurring good guys that you brought up to me, in contrast to our reoccurring bad guys episode. Again, it's in the 70s, if you want to go back and listen to that. Something we recorded last year with me and Jared.
So those podcasts are 8-tracks?
Yes, yes. You know, had to do them 8-bit, you know. Tough times back in those days.
Real to real.
But what you brought up was the reoccurring good guy in contrast to the reoccurring bad guy. So with the they sort of fit in similar molds. And my opinion on a reoccurring good guy, and again, this might differ from yours, so I'll let you bring it up, is my opinion on a reoccurring good guy is more an NPC that your players encounter throughout the story, and they might become the grease to basically get your players to move forward with their motivations, or they're, you know, NPCs that your players really like. I tend to find myself looking at the players as the good guys, unless you're playing an evil game. I guess then everything else is a good guy, so just flip the whole thing on its head. But I always tend to look at everything else around them as kind of ancillary in that regard. Maybe you've got a different opinion on it because you want to talk about reoccurring good guys. So let me know what you're thinking.
When I was pitching this, thinking about reoccurring good guys as opposed to reoccurring bad guys, the first thing that popped in my head was Saturday morning cartoons. In particular, I was thinking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Because, yeah, you've got your reoccurring bad guys. You've got Shredder, you've got Krang, you've got Baxter, Mothman, whatever his name was. And, you know, they show up and that's the episode. That's the bad guy that you're dealing with. And the good guys are, obviously, the Turtles. So who are the Turtles working with? Who is, you know, sort of pushing the story forward? You've got the April O'Neil, you've got the Casey Jones, you've got Splinter, you know, various other characters that are involved in this. Some of them are more involved, some of them are less involved, some of them are, you know, just sort of pushing the story forward or bringing the information to the players, to the Turtles. And they are a stopgap between not having the story moving forward and sort of finding, you know, they are a place where the players can go to find the next step or to make that next connection. And sometimes they are just a relief. You know, the players have been through a stressful situation, something difficult has happened, and they're not sure who they can turn to, and suddenly they got a friendly face that's welcoming them in, and that is the sort of the relief that ramps down the tension at that point. And that's, you know, reoccurring good guys can do all of that, and you really just sort of have to plan them properly so that they can be those things.
No, that makes sense. I mean, there's One of the points that you brought in there was the was the person who would oh my god, I lost it.
You're saying grease the wheels, or
not grease the wheels? It was your players are the one who forwards the, I guess it is greasing the wheels. Maybe is that the person I'm thinking of? I don't know. But that's the one that you tend to use, is that your players get stuck, and that person comes forward and could offer them a solution to go the next location.
Yeah,
or the next kind of clue. It is the
facilitator.
It's the facilitator role that you have within in a lot of the games. It's the stopgap measure that Jared and I had talked about, which is always have one NPC who knows way too much. Okay, that can basically be, Jared typically does a reporter in our modern game, like an investigative reporter, somebody of that nature who is able to give you the answers you need to go forward. The other types of, reoccurring good guys that you have, I feel like a lot of them are more one-off-y.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is somebody that you want to elevate, that I find is somebody that you want to elevate into a station of power. Somebody that you've become attached to, like you like the NPC, and you wish them to become something better. And that is typically, in my opinion, the best sort of reoccurring good guy that you can have, because they're able to do favors for the player, because there's kind of a quid pro quo thing with the players. And they help them get to where they are today, and so now the player is sort of indebted to the people, or he feels a debt of gratitude to your players. That's a better way of putting it. They didn't do it just to get something out of him, because that'd be more evil, but they did it because they're trying to actually help them out and bring them to a place of power, and then that person is just helpful to the players. Maybe they gives them safe transport. Maybe he gives them free lodging. Maybe he's able to connect them with other powerful people in the kingdom. What have you? Those are all different things that you should do. But so like that comes into the idea of all reoccurring bad guys have motivations, and reoccurring good guys have to have motivations and goals too. So like, what are they trying to achieve?
Well, and there's not just the what is their goal, what they're trying to achieve. There's also what's their allegiance. And between those two things, I like the character that's the reoccurring good guy that you sort of start at the bottom and build up. I like to think of them as the Steve. You run into them at the low levels of the game, and they're just trying to make it, right? But your characters run across them. They like Steve for whatever reason. Maybe Steve's a kobold, and you're just like, nope, we're going to adopt Steve. And, something happens. He helps them out, and good things happen to Steve. And so they run across Steve again later, and good things have happened to him. And so, yes, it builds them up. And so Steve can go from lonely peasant to, noble kobold, because the players keep running into him and he keeps helping them out and it keeps doing good for him. That sounds great. Steve's definitely going to help you whenever he can. And what is his motivation? His motivation starts out with just trying to get by and then sort of gets swept up in the player's motivation. But you can have the other way too. You can have the people that already have something, NPCs or good guys that you run into on a regular basis that have, like, they're trying to do a specific thing, and when your motivation and their motivation align, that's when magic happens. And so you got to sort of plan these things out. You have to sort of build your world so that these players can have these interesting interactions, and you can keep using them. So yeah, if you've got that guildie, maybe they are a filing clerk right now, and they're working in the I'm going to say Haberdasher's Guild again, because I've got a thing with hats. I don't know why. It's just in my brain. It's probably all that mercury. And so you're working with the filing clerk at the haberdashery, and you're doing a thing. You get to a place. They're the
ones. Is it like a video game you played recently?
I don't know. I no idea why hats are in my brain. Why aren't there more haberdashery guilds?
I challenge anybody listening to this podcast to add more haberdashery guilds.
Just have a whole session, nothing about but hats. Like hats as far as the eye can see. You can play sentient hats. But yeah, so, what's their motivation? What's their allegiance? These things can build sort of a real basic character that you can then reuse over and over. And I think, and we were talking about this a little bit before the pod, we were talking about, make sure that they have their own personality, because there is a real challenge to a reoccurring good guy to make it a DM insert. You don't want to be that character that your guys go to all the time. They need to have their own personality. They need to have their own motivation.
Yes. The tough thing with being the reoccurring good guy is that you don't want it to become, just that effect. You don't want them to become a PC for you as the DM. That's a general no-no. You shouldn't be playing a PC in the game. I know a lot of DMs I played under a DM who really just wanted to play in his own games that he designed, so he would always create some sort of traveling NPC that would go with the party, and now the DM's part of the game. Okay, except for the DM has knowledge about the game, and so you can't unsee what the DM sees, and being part of that, now your reoccurring good guy is too... He's too well known. He knows too much in the story. He always has the answers. And then it detracts from what the players are doing. Because your players are the penultimate centerpiece of your story. So no matter what you do with a reoccurring good guy or the reoccurring ally, okay, let's say that you're playing an evil game and you've created a temporary alliance that's on that's razor thin, but you've got one. Okay. But so you're willing to work with this guy. They keep showing up. You're like, okay, we're going to do it. We know we're going to knife each other in the back when this is all over, but we're still okay with it. But no matter what that is, the players are still the focus point of the game. That person never overshadows what the players are doing. And it's really giving them different personalities is important. And it's important kind of when you're doing NPCs to kind of give each NPC its own kind of general personality. I wouldn't go like too deep into creating the different personalities for each NPC that you have, but come up with something. And then if the players glom onto it and they really like the person, then guess what? You're probably going to dive more into creating and fleshing out who this person is later on during like maintenance in between sessions. I remember listening to one of the interviews with Matt Mercer in Critical Role, and how like his players in one of his games really got attached to like a blacksmith in one of their games. It might have not been one of the recorded games. It might have been one of his personal games. But the players got really attached to this blacksmith, and so he had to keep coming up with, like, they kept talking to him, and, like and so it became a reoccurring good guy. That's a person who the players felt comfortable going to, and he would always be, willing to help, and he had a personality, and, yada yada. They knew that guy. That was their blacksmith.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's important that if you're building a world, if you're creating any sort of world, it's a really barren place if everybody they run into is evil. If everybody's out to hurt them. You can do a game that way, but having those little drops of sunshine in there, a nice person to run into, really does sort of build into that contrast. And telling a story is about contrasts. You know, you've got anger, then happiness makes the anger, you know, more. It sort of dulls it if it's just one note all the time. So building out various good guys in your world, they don't have to be reoccurring, just good people to run into, you know, shopkeepers, various guild members, other adventurers that are just sort of doing their own thing, merchants, whatever. And your players will find some of them that they want to interact with more. And that's then up to you to sort of flesh out that person. And having personalities for them, having motivation, these are all important things to actually, like, you know, some of them are just shopkeepers when you create them. But if your players really like them, fleshing them out with, you know, their own personalities would go a long way to making them somebody that the players like. But yeah, what Aaron said about, you know, don't play that character in the party, because then you are just doing a self-insert. If every episode of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ended with April O'Neil defeating Shredder, that would just be a dumb show called The April O'Neil Show. I'd probably still watch it.
Oh, man. That'd be crazy. But, no, you're right. It would be... It makes the game... It cheapens the game if you're going to insert yourself in and then solve the problems upon which the players are there. It's better to have somebody who unstucks the players, okay, when they are totally stuck, given that they do get totally stuck. Okay, it's a good safety valve to have. One of the other things that you want to try to figure out with your reoccurring good guys are, you know, what are the organizations that maybe they are a part of, if they are part of an organization? Because that is access to information. It lets you know kind of how powerful they are within their current... You talked about their station. Like that gives them not just are they powerful in terms of, like, city structure, but are they powerful in terms of, like, this person is part of the Thieves Guild. He knows... He can get me information that I can't easily access. Okay? It might come at a cost, but I am able to talk to him and work through that. So, again, your reoccurring good guy... doesn't always, or any good guy in your world, doesn't always have to give away things for free, okay? There is a barter that has to happen to get information, okay? Whether that be that, again, the debt of gratitude is one thing, but most people are like, listen, I like you, so $50.
I had a really fun time. We had the players needed to get a bunch of information. So they reached out to an NPC that they had, and I sort of put together a dinner. Okay, and this was a no combat, no stakes sort of situation where they were introduced to right around 15 different NPCs all at the same time. A big old structured dinner. There was dancing, there was food, there was fireworks, there was games that were being played. And it was like a whole event, and they had different stages they had to go through. And one of the things that happened there was that each one of the players sort of latched on to a different one of the NPCs that I had created because it fit with their personality. And then later on in the game, they went back to those people for specific things. So building out sort of an arsenal, that was only like 4 of the 15 NPCs were ever heard from again. But it was important because it gave each of the players their own little someone they could get back to. And they had their own allegiances, they had their own motivations, and it made it a rather interesting. It was like a 2-session dinner party. And because it was, you know, a no-combat situation, there was still a lot of role-playing going on. There was a lot of story that was happening. They're trying to find information, solving puzzles, and it was still very interesting without having to be, you know, doom and gloom the whole time. Nobody was there to hurt them, but nobody was that necessarily there to help them until they made themselves worthy of being helped. And yeah, that's all about providing motivation and finding that sort of that connection, making those sparks.
Yeah, no, I think that's well put. Again, because you don't know what your players are going to necessarily connect to. It sounds like you had a good handle on what your players kind of like, and so you kind of tailored a bunch of people to kind of meet their needs there and kind of fit them into the right situations that they have there. One of the things that we did discuss about this earlier, and in terms of like how far an NPC or a good guy will go for you in terms of what they'll do for the player, you know, like, do they fight with the player? Do they solve the problem? One of the things I talked about was in the White Wolf system, the background, there are two backgrounds called allies and contacts. Okay. And a contact is somebody that I could call, like, who works at the DMV and say, hey, can you get me some information on this person? And they're like, okay, I'll do it. Venmo me $100 and I'll do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's another type of person, which is the allies, and the allies are more the people that will do it for you for almost nothing. Like, they're the people who you have a built and established relationship, like a friend. So Josh would be an ally, okay? Might be only so far that he would go, but he would be an ally. If I said, hey, Josh, I need to come with me.
You okay?
Okay, he'll come with me.
That's fine.
He'll actually show up in person, okay? It's like, that's the variation of what you have to look for and what your good guys, the reoccurring good guys are, is how far are these people willing to go for the players? So will they solve problems for the players? Will they fight in a fight for the player? Like, will they exchange goods and services in order to get the player information or a new sword or something like that? If it's a blacksmith, do they give him a discount? Oh, you've been here 100 times. Reoccurring customer, I'm glad to have you. Thank mm-hmm. you. Here's a free broadsword.
Yeah. you went and solved that problem with the iron coming down from the mountains. I was able to actually, like, you know, supply my merchants this time. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even have a shop today. You know, that sort of thing. But yeah, you have to find because these NPCs have their own motivation, they do have to fit along with what you're looking for. You can't ask the blacksmith, well, can you get me into the wizard's college? No. That doesn't work.
I don't know any wizards.
However,
they're not a skeleton key, okay?
I do have a guy that comes by and enchants things every now and then. Maybe you can talk to him. Maybe he knows something. You know, and that sort of thing. You can sort of backdoor it in without necessarily being straightforward. But I think something you said earlier about the contacts versus allies is also interesting when you talk about will this player fight with you? Will he join a fight with you? Because, yeah, you don't want to have these NPCs, these good guy NPCs, show up every battle, because then you are just fighting their fights. But for a particular mission or a particular fight where it's important that they do a thing, or, you know, it's the big bad and you're bringing in an army, you want to show up with an army too. So maybe you call all your contacts and see who's willing to come with. And don't necessarily have them involved in the actual combat. Maybe put that off to the side and sort of have some predetermined things of what's going to happen so that the players can interact with them. But you're not rolling against yourself. That gets really, really tedious, and combat already takes forever. What I've done before with NPCs like this is that I will sort of have some breakpoints, like this is what they do during these rounds. And if the players look over to see how they're doing, I'll roll it high or low, and if they need help or not, so the players can go and engage in that combat without actually having to, you know, make unnecessary rolls. Is this NPC doing well? Yeah, they are. They seem to be handling just fine. And he shouts back to you, I got 3 more.
That actually is an interesting one, which is one of the challenging things that we've talked about that's been brought up in this podcast before has been the usage of the passage of time in a scene. So a lot of times you might be in a situation where a task must be done that is outside of combat, and you typically have the player's role for that, but it's not very exciting. So in that case, having a reoccurring good guy to be able to facilitate that action is perfect, because then the players are all duking it out, having their combat, but their reoccurring good guy is participating in a meaningful way in that combat without being part of the combat. So you're not swaying one thing one way or the other, but perhaps like, oh, in order to, you know, get into the castle, we have to raise the drawbridge while fighting off all these skeletons. And like, the person who's raising the drawbridge would take like 20 turns raising the drawbridge. But if you have an ally who's willing to come with you, your reoccurring good guy, Frederick von Burrow will raise the drawbridge himself, and you then can fight off the skeletons with your friends. So the combat is focused around you, and what's going on in the background is sort of this kind of, he's the artificial time that you've put out there. You're rolling for that. Nobody really knows what's going on. Frederick, what's going on? He's like, it's coming along. It's
I need grease for this wheel.
I knew we should have gotten the blacksmith to help.
What is this chest of drawers going to do for us? My name is Frederick von Bureau. I am not a bureau. No, and I think it's fun to have them involved in a combat situation without necessarily rolling combat for them. If they are there to fight, then sort of hand wave away their fight part, because it's not, nobody cares if I'm rolling crits against myself.
Hand wave it or do it really fast. Roll like super duper quick.
Yeah, like done. Because if I've got an NPC that's got multiple rounds, and definitely do not have them go engage the big bad at the end. They are there to clean up riffraff and to sort of, you know, facilitate the players getting that big moment.
What are you talking about? Gorthan, champion of the people, is going to take down the big bad.
It's Frederick von Bureau is going to take down Gorthak. Players, stand back. Watch me win.
As you're fighting all these mobs of minions, Frederick comes up behind him and just chops them.
Yeah, well, that's the Night King fight at the end of Game of Thrones, when out of the mist,
Arya, by the way, this could be a spoiler. So just,
oh yeah, I mean, somebody does a thing with a thing, and then stabby stabby. No, and it's.
Skip ahead a couple minutes if you don't want to hear the thing. Yes, the Night King fight was terrible.
Well, yeah, because you have a bunch of different people that it could be, and you've got people that you're caring about, and then it came out of nowhere. Or, you know, and there was a number of those.
And aside from that, I watched the behind the scenes on that to hear them try to explain why they chose that angle. It was terrible. Their explanation for that was horrendous.
Yeah, I actually...
Their explanation for most of the crap they did in that season was horrendous.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's a different podcast. Okay, I'm going to start the bitch about the last season of Game of Thrones podcast.
Game of Thrones. Yeah, that's... No. But yeah, you can have those NPCs in a combat situation, but don't have them, you know, steal focus from the players. The players are there to be the players. They're there to be the heroes of the fight or the villains of the fight or whatever they are. They're there to be the focus. And you're there.
They are good for an emotional draw, though, in a fight like that. You could use them if you wish to inflict and kill a good guy, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, some of the best motivation in the world is killing NPCs that your players care about. Okay, so, or wounding NPCs that your players care about.
Yeah, Steve the Kobold has come up with them from the sewers and is now a noble of the crossroads, and he has come out to face Gorthak on the battlefield with you. And the first thing that Gorthak does is points at Steve and throws a spear halfway across the field. Yeah. Well, we're going to kill Gorthak now.
Yeah, you want to get your players to do things lickety-split. At least this is the motivation in our group, in my group that I play in. Jared, I talked about this in the motivation episode. Jared found that he can throw arrows at us all day, and we're like, we got time. We're just gonna take our sweet time, figure all this out. The moment he attacks somebody else, we're like, all right, shit's gone down. We gotta end this now.
Yeah, it is really impressive. If you find an NPC that your players like and you put them in danger, well, you have created beautiful motivation. And if that NPC then comes out and rallies for you, now you've got an epic scene. So, you know, do with that as you will.
Frederick, no.
The Von Bureaus are made of stronger things.
Oh, man. But no, so again, these are different ways that you can sort of kind of use them in your story. Again, they're just NPCs that, you know, they keep showing up. Again, it's the barmaid. It's the easy ones are the ones that, you know, that are nice to your players or have helped your players with something.
But okay? They don't have to be. They could also be the dumb guard.
Yeah, somebody that your players have latched onto. They tend to be NPCs that your players just are friendly with, or that your players have made some strange connection that they believe this person is so much more important than they should be. So
it's because the kobold was wearing a hat. That's why.
He must be quite intelligent. No, he just killed someone on the road and he has a hat now.
That's why they called him Steve.
Came from the haberdashery.
And, you know, having these little things that your players are going to latch on to is important. So plan to create a bunch of them and realize that, you know, 90% of them will never be seen again because your players will see them and walk away. But there will be that one that somebody will latch on to and then use it.
Pick up the ones that your players latch onto. That's the most important thing. Be observant as the GM and to why your players like Steve. Mm-hmm. Okay? Why your players like the kobold. Why your players like the haberdashery lady. You know, why are these the people, like, because once you realize they like the NPC, then it makes a lot of sense to keep bringing the NPC back, or at least to have the NPC be in some way reoccurring, sometimes as a joke. Sometimes, you know, there's good humor in it. There's good fun in it. Sometimes it's a good way for when your players are lacking proper motivation and maybe they just want to do some blow-off mindless gaming, mm-hmm. where they just kind of talk. And it's a good way also then that NPC could facilitate conversations that maybe spark ideas. Okay, you be a sounding board. It's a good, if you don't want to actually physically break the fourth wall with your players and talk to them, okay, which is what I would just advise doing. It's much easier. if you want to do it in a more sly way, let's say all of your players are thespians, and they will only stay in character and talk to the bar wench over a flagon of ale, okay, and a
bowl of your finest Cheetos.
If that is the case, then maybe that reoccurring, you know, Steve the kobold, who also frequents the bar, okay, that they talk to him every time they're there, and Steve is talking about it, and he's talking about the highway bandit men that have been plugging the road, and he's just been hearing all sorts of things about them, and, you know, ding ding ding, now the players have ideas on things that they should go do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's important, like we say, you know, watch for what your players interact with and see what they latch onto, but it doesn't necessarily, they don't have to like adopt Steve the first time they see him and drag him along with them. If they had like a fun experience or just like just that moment of like, that was interesting, whatever, then throw them back in later and see if they latch onto them a second time. Sometimes when you throw out a little bit of bait, you don't get a bite on that first cast. So, but an interesting NPC, you can throw out a couple of times and see if it happens. Maybe give it a different name sometimes. You know, Steve wasn't as popular, but you really like the concept. Well, maybe Mikey comes in next time.
That's right. Mikey's going to come in next time. Do you have any other thoughts on this one, Josh?
No, I think it's I think we've pretty much hit all the topics we wanted to on this one.
Yeah, again, if you enjoy some experimenting, maybe you've had a reoccurring good guy or a reoccurring NPC your players have sort of latched on to, let me know. levelupyourgamingpodcast@gmail.com, facebook.com/levelupyourgaming, also on YouTube. So smash the like button, ring the notification bell. Otherwise, subscribe to the podcast, review it, recommend it to a friend, recommend it on Facebook, whatever be your medium. And that's going to wrap us up for the week. So for Josh, I'm Aaron. Have a great week, everyone.
Later.